Good to have each of you here this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to preach God's Word. In just a moment, we'll be getting into the lesson. I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I want to mention a couple things before I get into the lesson tonight. One is that on the front of the bulletin, dealing with Vacation Bible Schools, mentioned down toward the bottom, baked cookies. We'll start Wednesday night, giving you an opportunity to indicate how many you can bake and when you can bring them for Vacation Bible School, but I want you to be thinking ahead. Start thinking cookies. And we'll talk about the details beginning about Wednesday night. The second thing, we've been mentioning for the last few weeks about taking some pictures. Church has purchased a digital camera that makes it possible for us to take the picture and with the use of our computer, print out a picture that is comparable to pictures that you would have taken somewhere to studio. We're trying to get as many of our newer members, those who were not in our last update to the picture directory, to have their pictures taken. We're going to put them on a bulletin board and fix a notebook so that the elders will have access to it to help them to learn the new members better. And so if you have not had your picture taken for the picture directory, and you're one of the newer members or anybody that hasn't had your picture taken, go by the education building tonight after services. Bill and Charlene Brown will be there. Take your picture. We'll run it off and put it. It'll just help us to be better acquainted. And we encourage you to do that. I want you to focus on one statement that's made in the passage that Brother Holland read a moment ago. He read from Joshua 14. We're going to be looking first at Numbers 13 and 14. But I want you to focus on the statement where Caleb said, "Give me the mountain." There is a tendency on the part of many people to avoid mountains. Even a river avoids mountains. It takes the course of least resistance. We'll never go up a mountain, always around it. Too many people are like rivers, looking for a way around something instead of meeting it head on and dealing with it. You and I face a lot of mountains in life. Some of these mountains sometimes cause us to be discouraged and disappointed and even depressed. There are mountains that we face in our homes and families. There are mountains that we face in our businesses and the community. There are mountains that we face in the work of the church. And there is a tendency, if we're not careful, of saying, let somebody else do that. Especially let somebody else that is younger, as some of us tend to get a little bit older, let somebody else do that. I'm not capable. I've done my part. I can quit. Let somebody else face the mountain. But not so with Caleb. I think most of the younger folks remember Caleb, if they'll think back for just a moment. In fact, if you are looking at Numbers 13, and you look back in the earlier part of the chapter, maybe beginning along about verse 3 and 4 and going on down for several verses, you remember that there were chosen 12 men to go over as spies into the land of Canaan. This is back in the early part of the wilderness wanderings, and Moses sent them over to spy out the land. He said, go see what it's like and come back and tell us. You know the story of how they went over and saw the land and saw that it was literally a land that flowed with milk and honey. In fact, verse 23 says, they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. The grapes were so big that one cluster was big enough that it took two men to carry it on a staff. All 12 of these men came back, and they agreed on two things. They agreed that the land is literally a wonderful land, and they agreed that there were giants in the land that might be difficult to overcome. But then there was disagreement. 10 of the 12 said, we can't do it. 2 of the 12, particularly one by the name of Caleb, said, we can do it. And along about verse 30 of that chapter 13 there in Numbers, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 33, there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. over in the next chapter, verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not, or not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. You see the setting, don't you? Over in verses 23 and 24 of Numbers 14, Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. I think seeing a little bit of what happened there in Numbers chapters 13 and 14 helps us to put in focus what's said in chapter 14 of Joshua. Now turn back to Joshua 14. When the children of Israel were numbered the first time, there were 603,550 men above 20. Almost 40 years later, when they were numbered the second time, there were 601,730. There were only two men in both those numberings. 603,448 of those in that first numbering literally fell in the wilderness, as God predicted. He said, because you've not had faith in me to go over and possess this land, and because you've allowed yourselves to be afraid of the giants instead of having the faith that you need in order to do it, your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. And then he mentions Caleb, and in connection with Caleb, Joshua is mentioned, who would eventually become the leader when Moses died. And Joshua and Caleb are the only two men out of 603,550 who had crossed the Red Sea and were numbered in that first numbering, who crossed the Jordan River and went over into the land of Canaan. Caleb is an unusual person. And Caleb was one who not only believed when he was 40 that he could do what the Lord wanted him to do, but when he was 85, he believed that he could do what the Lord wanted him to do. And as they were in the process of going through the land of Canaan into different areas and driving out the people and possessing it and eventually dividing it among the tribes, the 2.5 of them, even in a sense afraid to go over and wanting their possession before they went over the Jordan River. But as they were doing that and they came to this particular section that has to do with the area of Hebron, Caleb said, give me that mountain. A study indicates that this is one of the hardest places to overcome. It was a mountain. It was a place where the giants were. Caleb didn't say, give it to somebody else. Let somebody else take care of it. He said, give me that mountain. I think that's the attitude that all of us need today. We're not going to possess a mountain literally as he did. We may not be meeting the giants that he met, nor a giant like David met on another occasion, but as I indicated in the earlier part of the lesson, there are mountains in life that you and I face. Some of us face different kinds of mountains. Some of us may not even understand clearly the mountains that others do face. But I would guess that all of us have in common the factor that there are mountains in our lives that we have to face. Are we going to be like the river and take the path of least resistance, or are we going to be like Caleb and be the mountain climber and not afraid of it? In looking at this statement of Caleb where he said, give me the mountain, and thinking of him as a mountain climber, I went back and studied these passages in Joshua and also in Numbers and tried to look at two things that I want to share with you tonight. First, I want to share with you what I believe would have discouraged most people, or could have discouraged most people, that did not in any way discourage Caleb. And then I want to share with you what I believe to be the three positive factors that he had that made him not afraid to ask for the mountain and not afraid to conquer the mountain. First, let's look at what might have discouraged him. Caleb was not discouraged by his peers. In fact, here in verse 8, he said, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. And as we read back there in Numbers, We saw that 10 of these 12 spies came back and they said, we can't do it. Now, 10 out of 12 is about 83%. Over 80% of those that went up to spy out the land said, we cannot do it. That's a pretty high percentage. That's a higher percentage than wins most elections. In fact, there are a lot of students that would like to have that high percentage on some tests. But 10 out of 12 said, we cannot do it. These were the men that with whom Caleb had been associated. These were his peers. But he did not let that discourage him. He said, these men said we can't do it, but he said we can do it. Even at that time, he said we can do it. And here 45 years later, he's referring back, and reference is made to the fact that his brethren, those that were with him, even who went up with him to spy out the land, said we can't do it. Caleb did not let his peers discourage him. Or we might say that point in another way. He did not let the polls or the popular opinion of the day make his decision. It would have been easy to say, we've taken a poll, 10 out of the 12 think we shouldn't go, and even though I think we should, I'm willing to go along with the others, and maybe they know what's right. He did not say that. He was not discouraged by his peers in any way whatsoever. And I'll guarantee you, especially you of the younger generation today, when a lot of the mountains pop up in life that we're to climb, there will be those among our peers who will say, don't worry about it, don't try it, don't work too hard, don't do anything about it. Let's go another route. Caleb did not let the popular opinion or the opinion of his peers discourage him from what he thought needed to be done. In the second place, he did not let his age discourage him. He says, I was 40 years old back there at the time that we looked at this land first. Now the 40 years wandering's taken place, and they've gone over Jordan, and they've been involved in trying to possess the land. And now he says, I'm 85. I'm 45 years older than I was back there. I'm more than double what I was at that time, but he said, give me the mountain. He did not let his age interfere. Sometimes I hear older members of the church say, I've worked for the Lord for so many years, I'm going to quit and let somebody younger do the work. Well, certainly things will change as one gets older. People will slow down, I think you've noticed, some of you. But there are some factors with those that are older that are just as important as some of the factors with those that are younger. I like to say we need the energy of the younger generation and the wisdom of the older generation put together. I think that's an unbeatable combination if you mix in faith in God with it. But I want you to notice here's a man who was 85 years old. He didn't say, I'll do a little bit. I'll still be involved. I'll go along with you. I'll give you my advice and tell you what I think you ought to do. He said, give me the mountain. I'm ready to take it. You know, there's no such thing as retirement spiritually while we're alive. Somebody said, and listen to this closely, that our retirement benefits in Christ are out of this world. And they are. Be thou faithful unto death and until death, both taught in many verses in the Word of God. Look at what Paul did in some of the latter years of his life. Some of his greatest work was done when he was older. Look at people even in the secular fields with which you and I are familiar. Some of the painters, artists, others. Believe me, Michelangelo was older when he painted some of his most important paintings. Wasn't afraid of his age. And he realized that he still had something. Caleb believed that he still had something to offer in the work of the Lord. He said, give me the mountain. Not down here where it's easy on the plain. Give me the mountain. We have many in the congregation here who are advanced in years who are still able to climb the mountains. Maybe not physically like you once did, but who are still valuable in the Lord's service and who need to have that attitude, give me the mountain. It may not be exactly the same mountain that you climbed when you were 20 and 30 and 40, but give me the mountain. I'm not afraid of it. He was not discouraged by his age. Considering the alternative, each one of us ought to look forward to growing older and dedicating those older years in the Lord's service. In the third place, he was not discouraged by his task. This was not something that was easy. Not only was it a mountainous area, but it was a mountainous area where the giants were and where it was going to be difficult. In fact, some of his peers had said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight back at the earlier point of discussion. But he was not discouraged by his task. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm afraid to start. I'm afraid I can't see it through. I'm afraid it's too big for me. Not Caleb. He said, there's a task there. This mountain needs to be taken. Give it to me. I'm ready to do my best, and I believe I can do it. A man of 85 years old was not discouraged by his task. And Caleb was not discouraged by the time factor. Notice it was 45 years ago from this point, here where he says, give me the mountain, that they had had an opportunity to go over and possess the land and didn't do it. Notice that he's wandered with the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, and now some time has elapsed as they've gone over and are possessing the land. 45 years have gone by. It would have been easy for him to have said, well, now if I were back at age 40 and we had done this when we had that first opportunity, I would have been glad to have gone and possessed the mountain. But so much time has gone by, I've sort of forgotten. I've sort of lost my zeal. I don't have the same attitude that I had back then. Not Caleb. He said, this 45 years later, but give me the mountain. I'm ready to go get it. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the work of the church, even in our private lives, our family relationships, if we would never be discouraged by our peers, by our age, by the greatness of the task, or even when it takes a lot of time and patience in order to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. I believe there's some great lessons here in what Caleb did not let discourage him. But let's switch from the negative to the positive for a moment. What's involved in the life of this man that helped him to, at age 85, say, give me the mountain? I believe there are three things that just stick out from these passages. Number one, self-confidence. Look there in this passage that Brother Holland read a few minutes ago. He said, I'm just as strong now as I was then. He said, Moses sent me, and I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I haven't lost any strength. I'm just as strong now as I was then. He had self-confidence. He believed he could do it. He was like the little engine that said, I think I can, I think I can, as it went up the side of the mountain. He was like Paul, who in Philippians 4 said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul was facing some mountains, some rather large mountains, when he said that. He had self-confidence. Story is told that there was a line of people applying for a job where one person was to be hired. And then one young man in that line got out of the line, went up and whispered into the ear of the person who was doing the interview and said, don't hire anybody till you've talked to me. Who do you guess got the job? Self-confidence. Believed in himself. But he didn't have too much self-confidence. He was not overconfident, because the second factor that's there, from the first time we see him until the last time we see him, is faith in God. And that may be the reason that he had the first factor. May very well be that his faith in God is what gave him the self-confidence. Notice what's said here in some of these passages. It says at least twice, maybe three times, as we look at Numbers and Joshua, that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. It is said of him in Numbers 14:24 that he followed me fully. He said himself in Joshua 14:12, the Lord is with me. It is said of him in Numbers 14:20-24 that he had another spirit, in contrast with the 10 who said, we can't do it. He said, with God's help, we can do it. He had faith in God. How much you and I need to build our faith in God. At times when we may not see why the mountain is not being attacked, why we don't go ahead and meet the mountain as Caleb might have wanted to 45 years earlier. But faith in God that even 45 years later we can still do it. He had self-confidence and he had faith in God. I believe there's a third factor that was involved in his life and causing him to say at 85, give me the mountain, and that is that he realized that he was dependent upon other people. Now, I realize that that's sort of an individualistic statement, give me the mountain. But go back and look at all that we read and notice that he said even at age 40, we can do it. He used the plural pronoun, we can do it. And more than once, as you read through the account in Numbers and you read through the account in Joshua, you'll find Caleb saying, we. And he may have had God's help in mind even there, but I believe he also had the help of others. He realized that he needed encouragement from others and he needed cooperation from others. He said, we can go up and possess the land. We can do it. And it's rather interesting if you were to read on into the 15th chapter of Joshua about verse 16, that Caleb even offered his daughter's hand to anybody who would help him take a certain part of it. He realized he needed some help, that he couldn't do it by himself. And he offered this young man his daughter's hand to be his wife if he would take this certain part or help him with this certain part. I think Caleb realized that he couldn't do it by himself. Had self-confidence, but he realized that he was dependent upon others. Now you think about those three factors. And wouldn't you agree with me if we have those three factors that we can climb any mountain that needs to be climbed? Self-confidence, he believed in himself, his abilities, what he could do. Faith in God, he believed that God would not have asked them to possess something if they couldn't do it. But with God's help, they could. And the encouragement of others and working with others. He realized he couldn't do it alone. He needed God and he needed the help of others. I submit to you tonight that as we face mountains in our families, if we'll try to develop some self-confidence, faith in God, and realize that we depend on others, that we can climb those mountains. When we face mountains in our businesses, in the community, in the work of the church, we will have confidence in ourselves, not overconfident, but confidence in what we are able to do, and place our faith in God that with God's help we can do anything that needs to be done, and realize we are dependent upon one another for encouragement and help. With those three factors, like Caleb, we can climb any mountain that we need to climb. He did not listen to the discouragement of his peers. He was not discouraged by his age. He was not discouraged by the enormity of the task, and he was not discouraged that it was 45 years later than it should have been. He was encouraged by self-confidence, by faith, and by dependence upon others. And he conquered the mountain. One of the biggest mountains for us to conquer is our relationship with Christ. In fact, if that mountain's not conquered, it's extremely difficult to climb any other mountain. And if you have faith in God and believe what he said, and you have confidence that you can be obedient to his will, and with his help you can live the Christian life, and knowing that you are encouraged by others, you can climb the mountain of Christianity. And if you haven't started, you need to start that. If you've started up and you've slipped back, you need to get back on track. Any one of us can climb any mountain that needs to be approached and conquered by self-confidence, faith in God, and encouragement of one another. If you need to start climbing the mountain of Christianity, come as together we stand and sing.